Well, good morning to you all once again, and I would encourage you just to have the Bible open at John 21, which is our focus passage for this morning. Discipleship when restoration is needed. There is an exhibit at the Tate Modern Gallery in London where it's like a modern art installation, and there are a number of metal buckets, and there are these very tottery, long-handled mops that are going up to the ceiling. And I have a sneaking liking for modern art, which I'm suspecting not all of you will share. But actually, it's a very powerful exhibit. And the writer who lived a fairly dissolute life, the artist, is sort of reaching out for forgiveness. He spoke about this, just that sense of wanting to be washed clean, but not really knowing if there was forgiveness and restoration and cleansing for him. And the exhibit, which seems so fragile, is just that sense of, you know, is there forgiveness for me? Is there cleansing for me? I long for it, I wish for it, but I'm not really sure. And one of the wonderful, incredible things about the gospel, the central thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that we can be sure that there is forgiveness for us. And that might be a first-time message for someone this morning, someone who's reaching out for grace, someone who's reaching out for forgiveness, someone who longs to know, is it really true? The good news of Jesus says that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is free and full forgiveness for all who turn to him, for those who come to him as Lord, for those who reach out their hands to him, who reach up to him. He reaches down to us and he brings his forgiveness. It's been a great joy to be part of the Life Explored group on a Monday evening and to go through some tremendous material with people who are reaching out to God. So exciting. And one of the things about the course is this wonderful, wonderful emphasis on the grace of God for all who turn to him. That's you this morning. You need the good news of Jesus. And the wonderful good news is that God reaches out to you and urges you, invites you to turn to him. You need the gospel. But actually, all of us need the gospel. Someone has said, the way in is the way on. So the way in to the Christian life is the way on in the Christian life. It's not that we become Christians by believing the gospel, by believing the good news, and then sort of move on to something else. We have the gospel and then we move on to good works. No, the gospel is the way that we continue in the Christian life. We believe in Jesus. We reach out to him in faith. We receive forgiveness. It's the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And then we live lives that are contoured with this wonderful gospel because we need God's grace freshly day by day. We all need that. That's a message for each one of us. But sometimes it can be especially a message. If someone has fallen, if someone has really struggled in their Christian life, if someone has really messed up, the question that we ask is there forgiveness for me? I received forgiveness once, but this terrible thing that I've done, this way that I've messed up, the way that I've spoilt things, is there forgiveness and cleansing for me? And the wonderful, amazing Christian good news is that there is. Very simple, straightforward message in many ways this morning, but I believe that it's a profound and a powerful one. That if we mess up, if we get it wrong, then there is forgiveness and grace for us as we return to Jesus. And we see that powerfully in the story of Peter, Jesus's disciple, who always seemed to get it wrong and got it catastrophically wrong when he denied Jesus. We would think that it would be the end for him, but because of the amazing love of God, it wasn't. There was forgiveness and there was restoration, and there is indeed forgiveness and restoration for us. So in a very straightforward way, let's follow through the story of Peter. In John 13, his denial is predicted, and he says to Jesus, "I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus says, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Before the cock crows three times, you will deny me three times." We think about that phrase, "I will lay down my life for you," on the lips of Peter, a breezy self-confidence, a pride. "Lord, it doesn't matter what these other disciples are going to do, I will never forsake you. I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus effectively says, "Really, Peter? Actually, I will lay down my life for you." Someone who messes up, someone who denies, someone who always seems to be foot in mouth, someone who is always getting it wrong. Jesus reaches out in love. Maybe just to pause though for a moment and to note how breezy self-confidence can lead us to mess up. This is a message about forgiveness and restoration. But it's important that we get the point that sin really spoils things for us. It really messes it up. Yes, there is grace and forgiveness, but if we are tempted to feel that sin doesn't matter, that is not the message of the gospel at all. And actually, that self-confidence is what can lead us to a fall. Rather than having confidence in ourselves, we need to have confidence in God and the way that he can help us and can see us through. We see in the Old Testament that sin can be wonderfully forgiven, but it has consequences. We see it, for example, in the story of David. David sins by committing adultery with Bathsheba and then compounded it with murder by getting rid of her husband Uriah. A terrible sequence of events and terrible sin. And yes, there is grace for David, and we read that in Psalm 31. And yet the sin has continuing consequences. As we read the story of David, we see that his kingdom is a mess and that people's lives have been messed up by these terrible things that have happened. Yes, there is forgiveness. Yes, there is cleansing. Yes, the slate is wiped clean. As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove David's transgression and sin for him. His rebellion against God, it's wiped clean. And yet something has happened and there are continuing consequences. God says to us, don't sin. Don't mess up. Don't commit adultery. Don't rebel against me. And he says that to us not because he's a sort of cosmic policeman in the sky, not because he wants to spoil our fun and cramp our style. He says it to us because sin messes us up so badly, and it messes up the people around us, and it ruins life. It cramps us up. It takes away our freedom. God loves us so much. He says, do not sin. Do not mess it up. And if there's someone here who's perhaps on the cusp of something, who perhaps who's on the edge of something that they know to be wrong, God says, don't do that. Follow me in freedom and grace. because you'll only mess yourself up. You'll only mess others up. You'll only ruin your relationship with me. Don't do what Peter did and deny Jesus. And so there is a challenge here, but there is wonderful restoration as well. Peter denies Jesus three times in John 18. He goes out and he weeps bitter tears. And you would think that would be it. That is end of story. In fact, you would probably think that for all of the disciples, because they all disastrously mess up. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, his hour of great need, his sweat is like drops of blood on the ground as he prays to his Father. And the disciples fall asleep. And then when the guards come to take Jesus, they all flee away. It's not just Peter. And you might think Jesus would say, away with these disciples. He dies, he rises from the dead, he is going to be commissioning people for mission. Is he really going to work with these guys? Is he really going to work with these disciples? Is he really going to work with Peter? If it was us, we would say, let's get a new group. Let's audition for some better disciples. Let's have some interviews. Let's see if we can find some people who won't mess up again and again and again. That's how we might proceed. And that's how we think that Jesus might proceed. But actually, he does something very, very different. There's an image in the Old Testament, in Isaiah. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. The image of the candle that is sort of guttering and flickering, and Jesus doesn't snuff it out. And the image of a broken or a bruised reed, probably the image relates to shepherds who would hollow out a little reed and they would put holes in it and they would use it as some sort of a pipe. And obviously it's very brittle, and if it got bruised, they would just snap it and they would just make another one. It's what you would do. It's the natural thing to do. But God doesn't do that. And the image is of trying to sort of restore this bruised reed, this brittle thing, this thing where it's easy to make another one. God perseveres with us. We might feel like smouldering wicks, but God doesn't snuff us out. We might feel like bruised reeds, but God doesn't break us. And we see the wonderful restoration of Jesus, the wonderful restoration of Peter in John chapter 21. If you've got your Bibles open, it's on page 1090 in my Bible as well. You might just like to follow this through with me. It is full of grace. It is full of encouragement. It is full of hope for those who have fallen. Jesus is risen from the dead. And John presents this picture to us so wonderfully. It's morning, there is light, and resurrection is dawning on these disciples as well. And Jesus meets with them. They have breakfast together on the beach. It's a wonderful, intimate portrait. And Simon Peter is there. What is going to happen? And Jesus asks him this question, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? What does that actually mean, more than these? It might be that Jesus is saying, Peter, do you love me more than you love these other disciples? Okay. And if that is the case, then we are challenged and we think, yes, we are to love Jesus more than we love our family, our friends, the other Christians who are with us along the way. But probably that's not the meaning. Probably it is more, do you love me more than these others love me? And we remember Peter's self-confidence. We remember him saying, doesn't matter if all these others are going to fall away, I will never deny you. We remember Peter saying, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus is saying, do you want to make a comparison again with these other disciples? Are you going to say, yes, Lord, I love you more than all of these. I love you more than John. I love you more than Thomas. In fact, I love you more than these other guys all put together. But Peter has changed. And he says very simply, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then on each occasion, there is a question. And three times, Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And you notice that there is this wonderful restoration, this wonderful grace. Three denials and three opportunities to say, yes, Lord, I love you. I want to say again, whatever it is that we've done, however it is we've messed up, whether we have denied Jesus, whether we have committed some catastrophic, very public sin, whether there are secret things in our hearts that only we know about, if perhaps it's been a slow slide into a sort of mush of Christian nothingness. You know, we're not really following Jesus. Our hearts have grown cold and we know that it's a year-on-year thing. Whatever it is, God wants to forgive and he wants to restore. We may feel that we've messed up three times catastrophically, and there is threefold restoration. We may feel that we've messed up hundreds and hundreds of times, and there is a hundredfold restoration. Whatever it is that we've done, there is grace. You may know the gospel incident where Jesus is asked, how often must I forgive my brother? Is it seven times? And seven times would have been a huge number in terms of forgiveness in Jewish culture. And Jesus says not seven times, but 70 times seven, or maybe 77 times. But actually the number doesn't matter, because Jesus isn't asking us to get our calculators out and to forgive once and twice, and then when we've forgiven the 43rd time, say to the person we're forgiving, just be careful here because there's only 20 or so more to go. He is saying, forgive abundantly, forgive superabundantly, keep on forgiving. And he says that because it reflects the very heart of God to us. There is forgiveness and grace for all. And notice something more here. That as Peter comes in repentance and faith, as he comes to his Lord, as he says, you know that I love you, there is not only forgiveness and cleansing, there is restoration to service. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Coming to the end of our series on discipleship, and it's been a huge privilege to walk through this with you. And we're coming to a point where I believe that as a church, as a community here in Headingley, but as a church as a whole, we're going to move forward together. As I've said on many occasions, there is such potential here in the opportunities that we have in the people that we are. And maybe you're feeling, I can't really be involved in this because of things in my past and because of the way that I've messed up. And God wants to say there is forgiveness and restoration and there is work for you to do, because in grace and mercy, I call you to follow me once again. And we don't need to be perfect. I ask Matthew just to read on the verses beyond Peter's actual restoration, because in a sense he's doing the same thing again. The disciple Jesus loved is there and he's walking behind them as he and Jesus walk along the beach, and Peter turns around and says, well, what about this guy? What's going to happen to him? Jesus has said, someone will stretch out your hands and will lead you where you do not want to go. And it's almost certainly a prediction that Peter is going to be martyred for his faith. As reliable church tradition says, crucified upside down, because he does not want to be crucified the same way up as his Lord. That phrase, stretch out your hands and someone will lead you, it's a technical phrase that would have been used for someone who is going to be led to the cross. Peter may or may not realize that this is what Jesus is saying, but he sort of wants to know, well, what about this guy? And Jesus says, don't compare yourself to him. What is that to you? I want you to follow me. I believe that God is speaking very specifically and very clearly to people here this morning. I believe that he's speaking to us as a whole community, but to individuals who are here. Whatever it is that you've done, however it is you've messed up, however far you've gone away, if you have been eating metaphorically the food that the pigs ate in the story of the prodigal son, whatever it is, whatever you've done, however you have fallen, there is restoration. And there is not only free and full, superabundant forgiveness, there is restoration to Christian service. That speaks very, very specifically into your heart. Don't go away at the end of this service before you've asked someone to pray for you and with you. Do share that with someone where you can confidently trust them to hold that. You can share that with me if you like. In the quietness of your heart, and as you share with a friend, reach out to God in faith. Turn from all that is wrong and turn to him. Receive his forgiveness and receive his wonderful restoration to service. Hear again his words. Follow me. Who knows where God is going to lead you? But what is absolutely certain is that he has not finished with us yet, and he wants to lead us forward in grace and in love and in service. Let's pause for a moment together. I want to just encourage us to keep silence, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Father, we thank you for the glorious gospel. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who came and died and rose. Thank you that he won salvation for us on the cross. Lord, we reach out our hands to you in deep gratitude for what you've done. And Lord, we recognize that the way into the Christian life is also the way on in the Christian life. And we thank you for the forgiveness and restoration that you offer to all who fall, to all who stumble. Lord, we come to you afresh. And we pray for your forgiveness and your cleansing. And we thank you that whatever it is that we've done, your grace is enough, is more than enough to cover over all of our sin. And so, Lord, we receive. And we thank you and we praise you that there's not only grace to forgive, but also grace to restore to Christian service. Thank you that despite Peter's catastrophic denial and failure, you hadn't finished with him. And Lord, thank you that you have not finished with us. Cleanse us, renew us, strengthen us, and show us what is on your heart for us to do. Lord, today we're not so worried about the person sitting next to us or behind us. We're not thinking about your call on their lives. We want to focus on what you're saying to us. And so, Lord, we hear afresh the words that you sent to Peter, sent directly to us. Follow me. We thank you and we praise you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.